Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Heiskanen et al. Titled, Right Ventricular Metabolic Adaptations to High Intensity Interval and Moderate Intensity Continuous Training in Healthy Middle-Aged Men. This article published September 1st, 2016. Joining me today are Associate Editor Gary Lopeshuk, Lead Author Kari Koliokoski, and Content Expert Mike Nelson. Let's get started.
Well, there's been a lot of interest about what changes in energy metabolism occur in many forms of pathological hypertrophy and heart failure. But there's actually a lot less known about what happens to energy metabolism in the heart in a hypertrophy that actually isn't pathological, but rather maybe an athletic type of cardiac hypertrophy. And this paper has nicely addressed both glucose uptake and fatty acid uptake in a setting of hypertrophy that occurs due to a high-intensity interval or moderate-intensity continuous training. And I'd like, Kari, if you wouldn't mind, to sort of give us some of the key highlights of the paper.
So thanks, Gary. As we all know, high-intensity interval training has become a very popular way to get the health benefits of exercise with just a little time commitment. And there has been a lot of research about the physiological changes caused by this HIIT training. And in this study, we actually really studied what is happening in the myocardial metabolism. We put half of the subjects to do high-intensity interval training and half of the subjects to do aerobic continuous training, and they did only 2 weeks of training, and we measured before and after changes in the myocardial metabolism. The results were actually very interesting because a bit surprisingly, right ventricular insulin-stimulated glucose uptake, it decreased significantly after the training. I mean, a bit surprisingly here because usually decreased myocardial insulin-stimulated glucose uptake or insulin sensitivity is typically observed in different patient groups. And it is believed that better myocardial insulin sensitivity equals to healthier myocardial metabolism. But on the other hand, previous cross-sectional studies have shown that myocardial insulin-stimulated glucose uptake is significantly lower in endurance at least compared to untrained subjects.
Mike, would you mind giving us your impressions of the paper and maybe some of the comments or questions you might have for Kari?
Sure. Well, thanks so much. Pleasure to be here. First of all, I think Dr. Koliokoski and his colleagues should be commended on really pulling off an incredibly complex study. Not only did they perform PET imaging once in healthy individuals, but they performed it twice, once with a euglycemic hyperinsulinemic clamp, and then the other time with a, you know, in a traditional fasting state. So just an incredibly complex, well-done study. Secondly, I read with great interest this manuscript because for a long time, as you all know, you know, the right ventricle has either just been forgotten or maybe just neglected. And so it's you know, so wonderful to see more groups interested in understanding the right ventricular response to exercise and its training adaptation. I guess the most fascinating thing, maybe my first question for Dr. Koliokoski is, you know, if you could just comment on really the remarkable effect of high-intensity interval training. But I did some really simple math and looked at just the volume of training between the two conditions. It looked like the participants in the high-intensity group performed 2 to 3 minutes total exercise versus 40 to 60 minutes in the moderate intensity, and yet they achieved similar, and one might argue, better results with 2 to 3 minutes of high intensity. And so maybe just some attention should be just noted on that before we dive into some of the metabolic stuff.
Thanks, Mike. It was really so that the interval training group trained only 2 to 3 minutes of high intensity training. Of course, they had some resting period there in between, and they did some unloaded cycling and also some warm-up and cooling down after the exercise. But the real exercise load was only very low in this group.
You know, the main question, and you all touch on it in the discussion, is really quite remarkable. It's an unexpected finding that glucose uptake would actually go down in response to training. And I just wonder if you could maybe speculate on some of the mechanisms. We know that the RV-EDV increased, and I couldn't help but think that perhaps this is just a shift to a more efficient heart, relying much more heavily on the Frank Starling mechanism. And I just wonder if you could comment on some of the mechanisms that might be contributing to a Frank reduction in glucose uptake following training in both groups.
Yes, about the mechanisms, there are several possible mechanisms. And of course, this improved efficiency could be one of the mechanisms. It has not been shown that there are not so many changes in, or not so big changes in efficiency in the heart after the exercise training, but we couldn't answer that based on Mauer's data, but that is definitely something that should be looked for in the future studies. We have suggested that perhaps there is something to do with oxidative stress that is observed after the exercise training, especially after the high-intensity exercise training. Perhaps that could lead changes in glucose uptake in the heart.
Kari, I wonder if I could follow up on Mike's question, because I found it very interesting, the striking differences that you observed here compared to, as I mentioned before, a pathological hypertrophy where you normally see an increased glucose uptake and a depressed fatty acid metabolism. And you see with this hypertrophy and with training a decreased glucose uptake and maintained fatty acid uptake. And I'm wondering if you could comment on whether you feel these changes in glycolysis or glucose uptake are adaptive or maladaptive, because it seems that in a situation associated with better function, you end up with a decrease in glucose uptake and just the opposite when you get into a pathological hypertrophy. So do you have any comments on whether this is an adaptive or maladaptive change in glucose uptake in these subjects?
Personally, I still think that this is adaptive response. And although there are some signs that are showing similar changes, like in the patients, many of the, especially the functional changes that we measured with MRI, they are showing a better function in the heart and in the right ventricle. So I personally think this is still adaptive response. But definitely, I think this needs more research in the future and better explanation why this is happening so.
Mike, do you have any follow-up questions?
As elegant and well done as this study was with the euglycemic hypoinsulinemic clamp, I also couldn't help but think, how would these hearts look in response to physiological stress when they're challenged with maybe dobutamine or low-level exercise? Would we see similar changes that might sort of go more consistently with what one might expect in terms of a metabolic shift to a healthier or positive adaptive state? And I wonder if you could comment on that.
Yes, that's definitely an interesting question and a totally different thing to measure what is happening during exercise. And I still believe that these trained hearts or trained right ventricles are working better during exercise than the untrained ones.
I was wondering if you could comment on the individual responses shown in figure 3, I believe. It looked to me like one of the high-intensity interval training subjects actually had an improvement in glucose uptake, and 3 to 4 of the moderate intensity training groups also shared an increase, which was opposite of the mean results. Was there anything unique about these patients, maybe their training load, maybe, or anything in particular that you noticed that would separate them from the rest of the group?
Yes, we also noticed that there were some of the cases that were not behaving like the others. And we tried to figure out what could be the reason, but we couldn't find any particular reasons for those. I don't recall right now, but I think it wasn't so that even the training response, like in VO2 max, I think it wasn't related to this. And so on.
Well, I thought this was a very interesting discussion. And as Mike said, I think this is very intriguing and interesting data. And I think it will open up a lot of new interest into what exactly is happening to metabolism in the exercising individual, and whether this is adaptive or maladaptive. I think future work should determine that. But I'd like to thank Kari and Mike for excellent discussion. Kara?
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.